Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable, ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations, so if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you, and we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Who is watching as much Olympics as possible, Ben.
As humanely possible.
Maybe not as humanly possible, but like I'm trying to have it on a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, during Olympic time, it's just like the Olympics should just be on in every room at all times, just in case something unbelievable happens.
Basically, I mean... You cannot hardly open Instagram without getting something spoiled for you.
Oh,
you
sure.
You can't even basically open Google without having something. I Googled something the other day and just like at the bottom, just like a gold medal floated up and it's like, the men win the 4x100 meter gold. And it was like, well, come on, man.
I didn't even get to watch it in real time.
That wasn't even part of that was just like a built-in spoiler, Google. Jeez.
You know who did watch it in real time?
You.
This guy.
Yeah.
I sure did.
I already knew that one as well. But had I not, and that's how I found out, I'd have been like, oh, dude, bro, come on.
That's not cool. That's not cool. I know. It's always really like unusual with like world sport because time zones are everywhere.
Yeah. Like we were watching, it's like you can watch the like, you know, NBC primetime coverage, which is like if you haven't watched it all day and you've managed to avoid spoilers, like this is a great thing to watch because they will just bring you like, here's the cool American things that happened.
Yes.
All day in order with packages and stories, and it's very nice. However, we were watching that one night and they're like, and you know, kick off tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. Paris time if you want to see Simone Biles. And I was like, part of me is really considering setting my alarm clock right now.
It's like am I about to do that right now? Like, am I going to get up at 5 a.m. to watch gymnastics?
Well, thank goodness I didn't, because Simone didn't start doing stuff until like 7. So
wow.
I know.
Yeah, they were just using her to get people in the door.
They absolutely are. This is okay. So I'm having so much fun watching the Olympics, but like I'm doing it on YouTube TV and you'll like scroll down to the menu and they'll like, there's like a whole section just for Olympics.
Okay.
You know, it's like, here's the 5 channels we have running them. and then they'll have like these like group channels where you can see like four screens at once. So you can watch four things at once. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, this one's a commercial. Never mind. Let me scoot over here or, you know, whatever. But sometimes it'll just be like a single channel and it'll be like water polo, soccer, fencing or whatever. And it'll like list three sports that are going to run through that runtime.
Okay.
And you'll click on it and it won't be any of those.
Oh, really?
It'll just be like, oh, and actually we're at men's volleyball over here. That's not what it says here, but yeah, that's what we're doing here.
That's what we got instead.
That's what we got instead. Or clearly we couldn't just list everything we were going to jump to. So this is where we're at right now and it wasn't on there. So I know you clicked on this for swimming, but actually this is equestrian and like, well, that's a lot different.
Well, you know what's really funny is that like one of the things that always comes up in my mind around every Olympic like showcase, every Olympics, as it were, is that inside of like many professional sports, you will inevitably have it be the case where somebody who on the field was a terrific player will ultimately go on to be like a sports caller. After the fact. So like Tony Romo, for example, was like a really popular quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And now he is actually like what I would regard as one of the best commentators for the NFL.
Absolutely. Yes.
And, you know, he brings like a ton of, you know, knowledge and expertise and all that type of stuff. And based on sport to sport, you know, there are plenty of sports that are widely televised and these people have naturally made their way through, you know, the grassroots commentator, whatever, and now they've made it to the Olympic stage to call their specific sport.
Yes.
But I think I was watching like men's beach volleyball the other day, and the commentator for that one was just like, it was almost like the best person who had like elevated themselves through like the sports calling had found their way to the top, but like maybe that like isn't the most competitive field, because like sports calling is a skill.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And it is.
You know, so it's like, but not all sports necessarily have career paths where you can go and exit being a professional beach volleyball player or whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
I think it's Misty May who's doing the beach volleyball calling.
Okay, so maybe maybe it was a different sport entirely. Okay. Whatever it was, though, I was like listening to somebody and I was like, oh my gosh, I have finally found it. I have finally found the person who is not good at sports calling, but like is now on the Olympic stage because this sport is too obscure to have like manufactured like a really good caller.
Like they were the best archer in the world, but not a great sportscaster. But they certainly know the most about archery.
Yeah. Right. It's like they were the person who it would fall to, and you need an expert to be able to comment on the behaviors, movements, whatever of experts so that we, the average viewer, have
know
an idea
what's
of,
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is South Korea so good at archery?
Right.
Yeah. They won like 10 medals or something.
Is that right?
I don't know. Not at like this Olympics, but they are like, I think like the last several, they're just like crushing it in that particular field. Anyway.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Who knew?
Yeah. Maybe Hunger Games is
Hunger
huge is
really
there.
Big yeah, there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like,
wow, this Katniss like, girl.
Katniss. I want to be her when I grow up.
Right. Maybe if you're like, I wonder if there is any strategy if you like looking at Olympic kind of sports, and if you're like a smaller country and like you kind of know that like the big countries out there like America and China and Germany and France and like Britain, like these are like giant population centers that can generate tons of high level athletes.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're out there. So if you're like a small country and you're like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to pour all of our resources into one single more obscure sport.
Sure.
And just try and just dominate that.
Right. Like all of us, we're not spreading our energy. You know, nobody's trying to bobsled. Nobody's trying to duathlon. Nobody's trying to figure skate.
Right.
You know.
Well, we got archery,
or
we're going to win
table tennis
or
something. But it's even funny to think, you know, this exact thing, because this is also like, I think it's sometimes like the airport can be this way. Like sometimes I'll go to the airport and I'm like, man, everyone is like so different from each other. Like as you're like walking the hallways, and it's like, that's what public transportation does, is that it brings, you know, everybody uniquely needs to be able to travel. Whereas, I think the example I always compare it to is like, if I go to like a brewery in Roanoke on a Saturday evening, I'm like, I see the same people everywhere. And it's like, probably because the demographic that I exist in is people who visit breweries. And so all of the other people who just do the same thing as me are all in the same places.
Right.
But like, when it comes to sports on this scale, what you end up with is like, all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's such an obscure sport. But like, I bet people who are into it are like, it is not.
Nuh-uh.
Like, it's like, this is a huge following. Like, people are all about this.
Right.
You know, and you're like, oh, okay. I've just stepped outside of my bubble into a different bubble that
Yeah. It's like, it's just different in different places.
Exactly.
It's just,
exactly.
just like, you know, like in America, the hands down most popular sport in America is American football.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not at the Olympics at all. You know,
no.
Right?
No, no. It's which is such a classic. It's like, it feels like such an American sport.
It absolutely does. And it's like, there is Australian rules football and there is like Canadian rules football
yeah.
and stuff. But it's like, yeah. what, like, it's so funny to me that like America, like there is, it is, it's not just the most popular sport. It is so popular.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, and then you get to this world scale and just like the rest of the world does not care.
It's like, yeah, we're just over here like with our own toy and we're like, are you guys jealous? And the yes. rest of the world's like, no. Like,
they're like Super Bowl. They're so, like, don't care.
Yeah, yeah. They're like soccer ball. Right. Actually, yeah. Football. Yeah. Oh wait, crap.
Yeah. Oh man, that's all, yeah. We should have called it that.
Yeah. So football is the most popular sport everywhere. It just sometimes means a completely different sport, namely if you're in America.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So there's that. Although the men's American football team, you told me this fact, scored their first Olympic goal in like 16 years.
Yes, it was unbelievable. So like, you know, I'm hanging out with Addy on Saturday morning and I'm like, okay, like, you know, we're in kind of like a lull zone right here, we're building with some magnetiles, doing the whole thing. I'm like, I'm gonna have it on in the background. So I'm yeah. like, well, what's playing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, soccer, and it's kicking off right now. I'm like, yes, please. Like, I like world sport soccer. That's something yes. I can like easily get invested in. And the men's national team, you know, is just not historically the most
not
winning,
as good.
It's not the most winningest team, you know, to say the least. I don't even yeah. think we were in the last two Olympics is possibly oh how this fact came to be. But yeah, so I'm watching them play New Zealand after getting absolutely stomped by France. And it's like, you know, it's one of these things, like 6 minutes in, they get like a penalty kick. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, punching the air by myself.
Like, heck
and
yeah.
Addy's like, Daddy, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, we got a penalty kick. This is great. And you know, they go, they wind up, it goes in the back of the net. And I'm like, heck yeah, I can't believe I turned this on. And 6 minutes later, there's a goal.
Boom.
And then they come on the commentator and they're like, that's the first goal in 16 years. And I'm like, not the first win in 16 years. The first time they have successfully crossed the ball over the line into the net.
First time they're in a winning position then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like tie or lose.
Tie or loss is yeah. all you can do with the zero.
And yeah. and the ties are nil-nil.
Right. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because nobody scores.
Because no one scores.
It's just like, what? How? No way. Anyway, but I witnessed it. So it's yeah. like, if we have one accolade, it's like we probably won't get a medal, but like, we scored a goal.
We can sure hope. We can sure hope.
In fact, in that one game, we scored four.
Scored four. Huh. Scored four.
Yeah.
Feels like one of those times where it's like, because I don't know if America would have been an underdog in that game or not.
I don't think in that game in particular, if they had to win, but like if they lost, they would be like eliminated and they would still have to play the third game, even being mathematically eliminated, which would have been like demoralizing as heck.
I see.
So technically now the third game that they play will actually be, it'll matter.
Yes. Yeah. So got to watch that one.
Heck yeah.
Man.
These are the stakes, Jay. These are the stakes.
These are the stakes. This is what I love about the Olympics is the speed at which like you can like learn the athlete's stories and the speed at which like the stories begin developing.
Yeah.
Like, for the games, like we were, you know, I think we were watching the women's gymnastics.
Okay.
Like yeah. over the weekend, which is of course the most primetime thing, I think, in the Olympics.
Yes. When you were like building up to like the most popular sport in America, I thought you meant in the context of the Olympics. And I was like, wouldn't surprise me if you said gymnastics.
No, I think as far as the viewers are, as far as NBC is concerned,
yeah.
the women's gymnastic team is the literal S tier.
Yeah. yeah.
Of like, this is what people are tuning in for, especially now that like Michael Phelps isn't around.
Right.
Well, like Katie Ledecky is another big one they're pushing and stuff. And
sure.
like the basketball team with LeBron James is also,
certainly.
They're getting a lot yeah. of attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well. But like, so we're watching just like the qualifier round. You know, it's like, I don't know much about gymnastics, but I know that four of these girls were at the last one. And I know that Simone Biles like ducked out because she had the twisties. And then Suni Lee came in and she got gold anyway and just said, who cares?
Right.
You know, and it's like now they're both back. So you're just watching and just you're not even watching the other teams, just watching the American team,
right?
You know, qualify for the next round. It's like, oh my gosh, like Jade fell on her floor routine. That's really bad. Like she almost tumbled off the mat. That was crazy. And oh my gosh, Simone, like, did she hurt her calf? Like, is she going to be okay? And then she'd go up and she'd, you know, do some crazy thing she invented that only she in the world can do. And she lands and you're like, oh my God, that was insane. And then she limps off and you're like, is she okay? What's going to happen?
I know.
What is the future of America? And then, you know, I think, you're waiting to go in the all-around competition. It's like, I guess the way it works is that only two of them can qualify for the all-around competition. So you've got like Simone, who's clearly qualified way ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
But then you got that second spot and you've got, I can never remember her last name, Jordan, whoever.
Oh, darn
Jordan,
it. Hang on,
I know.
Hang
okay.
On,
you got on. It.
Yeah. Cause I feel like it's a name that I always want to pronounce differently.
Yes.
And it's like, is it Floors? Oh no, hold on. Maybe that's a footballer.
Hold please. This is what I've been trying to look up on my phone. I can't get it to just give me a list of the five girls.
Childs.
Jordan Childs.
Jordan Childs.
Okay.
But it's not like Chiles.
It's just Childs.
Just Childs. Okay.
Again,
okay,
who's the and Jade.
Okay, hang on one second. We got this. We got this. Sorry, Izzo. Jade Carey.
Jade Carey and who's the fifth one?
Hesley Rivera.
Yes. That's it.
Okay, we got them all.
Like, why isn't there just a straight up list that as soon as you Google it?
I don't know. It seems crazy.
It does seem crazy. Anyway, okay. Hesley Rivera, Jordan Childs, Jade, David.
Carey.
Jade Carey. It like comes in and out of my brain. Okay. You're watching the team competition. It's like only two of them can make it. And Jordan Childs has already finished all of hers. And she's second right now. But Suni Lee still has to go. And all she has to do is high bar. And it's like her best event. But she basically has to be perfect. But she's the defending gold medal champion. And it's like suddenly you're like just on the American team. Like who are you rooting for to go be second? Like does it seem like on the one hand like Jordan Childs has clearly put up amazing numbers and she's never done it before and she's doing great. And on the other hand, like Suni Lee stepped up in the last Olympics and won gold. And it feels like maybe she should get a chance to defend her title.
Right. You know? Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's like I'm rooting for Team USA, but then within Team USA, I kind of got to pick. And if anything, we have like maybe three contenders, could take gold.
I know it's like such a good problem to have, I guess. And then, you know, you watch Sudi go up there and sure enough, she puts out like this perfect performance and, you know, gets the second spot and you're like, oh my gosh, that was wild. And you can just see like they cut to Jordan's face and she's just like, looks like equal measures, like happy and sad.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I don't know how to feel.
It's like my teammate did it and I'm so happy for her, but that means I don't do it. And like,
no, it's so bad. Also, I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but this is the best idea they've ever had at the Olympics for like putting it on TV is they are putting heart rate monitors on the parents of the gymnasts.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. They would just cut to them and it's like your resting average heart rate, usually somewhere between like, you know, 60 and 70 for your average person.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will cut to them sitting in the stands and it's like 180. It's just like they are so nervous.
I mean, but this is such a thing too, is that like, I almost feel like if you were off doing something, like I would almost be more worried on your behalf than I think I would be if I was just doing it myself.
Yeah.
And these are parents of Olympians. So like there's no doubt that for the most part, I'd be willing to bet a lot of their life has been dedicated to going to and from practices, doing physical therapy, doing dieting and whatever, you know, nutritional things need to be done at home and, you know, like traveling the world to go to all of these meets and trying to juggle your professional lives with being able to maintain the ability to attend all of these things.
So yeah.
You can witness your child literally be like a remarkable existence on this planet. Like it's unbelievable. And then, I mean, so it's not just even that I think they're sitting there thinking about like everything they've put into it, but then, you know, no one is your bigger fan than your parents.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they know who they're pulling for, you know, they know who they want to compete in the all around. Yes. Like, you know, it's,
oh man,
it's unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's just been so much fun to watch. I just love the Olympics. It's been great.
I know it is really cool, because it's also like, there's a phrase that I remember hearing about, I think during like the 2016 election. And it's like, it's a really unusual phrase, because it's, may you live during interesting times. And
yeah,
just hearing the words said to you almost might sound like, have a great day, you know,
right?
Like may you live during interesting times. And it's like, it's not. It's more of a phrase of foreboding, because interesting times, when it comes to world news, interesting is usually more closely aligned with bad, you know,
right?
Like,
yeah,
like
difficult times,
the pandemic, like world wars, you know, like that type of, like, you know, that is what people mean. So it's like a very foreboding thing to say to another person. But when it comes to the Olympics, it's like you will be witnessing history be made. A world record will be broken. You know, it's like,
already watched it happen.
Yeah. It's like, so what you're about to see is the peak of human performance take a step forward.
Yes.
You know,
which is just crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that there was a really cool graphic once upon a time I'm pretty sure you were the one who showed me, but it was a graphic of like over the past 100 years, member, like the winner of each 100-meter dash, like racing each other. And, you know, it's like the person who won 100 years ago would be beat by the person who will win this year by like 2 full seconds.
Right.
Or maybe even more.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's an astonishing amount of growth.
Right. Like they might not even qualify.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Like they are an Olympic gold medalist that might not qualify in today's games.
Right.
You know, it's like, whoa,
man,
you know, cause that's what's the most like, when it's hard to wrap your head around that, because right now we feel like we are watching the peak of human capabilities, and that's true. But 4 years from now, new records will be set.
They'll keep getting broken. Yeah.
And it's just like, when does that stop? Like, when will it reach a point where it's almost like, you know, Michael Phelps existed. He was an outlier. He happened to be that good. No one else is, you know, it's like, those are the records that stand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they were an anomaly to the sport.
Well, let's just bring it full circle here, Ben, because the one I was watching last night was in the 400 IM swim.
Okay, the IM is the one that you have to do all four strokes?
Yes, the individual medley, you have to do all four strokes. And it was a record that the world record was held by Michael Phelps for like 20 plus years.
Okay, impressive.
Yes, last night it was broken. A couple years ago, it was broken by this French swimmer.
Okay.
And it just so happened that doing the commentating was Michael Phelps watching it happen.
No.
And the guy knew that Michael Phelps was doing the commentating, was doing the call. He's been like, you know, he says he goes home and he like studies Michael's tapes, and like he was always asking his coach, like, what would Michael do in this situation and stuff.
Dang.
And so he knew, he was just like, this is the time to go for it. And he like, maybe it was the last Olympics, and he breaks the record, gets gold. And then last night he, I think he broke it again.
No,
I think
way.
He broke his own record.
Jeez.
Yeah, which is, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But he still won. He got gold again.
Okay.
But it's like crazy to think, you're like Michael Phelps, it doesn't feel like he's beatable. You know, he was just not just like a once in a, he's like a once in a generation swimmer, you
yes,
know?
Yeah.
Like once in a century, it feels like, this guy's crazy. And now someone else coming along, breaking his records.
I know.
It's like, what?
I know.
No.
Yeah. It's like it's unbelievable to think that like had these two swimmers, because people do this all the time with, you know, Michael Jordan, LeBron James or whatever, you know, take any two phenomenal athletes in any given sport, you know, Tom Brady and Steve Young.
Yeah.
Would that be an argument? Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point is that it's like, it's really difficult because like Michael Jordan played in a completely different era of basketball from LeBron James. So it's like, you know, who's better. You know, it's subjective in a lot of categories.
You'll never know.
Yeah, it's like we didn't get to see them play each other in the way that you would, you know, you'd want to see. But when it comes to race-based sports where the water is the water,
the water.
The distance is the distance, it's like you can compare, you know, the 100-meter dash is 100 meters, whether it's being held in, you know, Australia or Canada.
Right. Like, I've heard too on these lines, it's like the things that might be giving modern athletes advantages over past athletes are like has stopped being like the development in training and stuff like that, and it's more about like the technology that surrounds the sport.
Right.
So like maybe those 100-meter dashers from, you know, 50 years ago, they might not have had like starting blocks, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. Which, they just
stood on the line and went.
Right.
You know,
right,
and it's
yes.
Like, now you have the starting block. And that's a huge advantage. And like shoe technology is better. And like even like the shorts and the air, like all these little things that add up to be like, you know, 0.1% here and here and here and here and here. And they all add up to this bigger, you know, 1 second improvement at 100-meter dash over 50 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I got to comment on the shoes thing, because this was something that I experienced firsthand. Not that I'm anywhere near the caliber of, you know, these athletes that we're discussing. But, you know, a couple of years ago, I had told Alice I wanted to do the marathon that I ended up doing, and for my birthday she was like, okay, like let's go to the store and you can pick out any of the shoes that you want. And I was like, okay, that's perfect, that sounds fun. And as I was going in, there's these shoes that I had like always seen other people wearing, and I was like, oh, I'm obsessed with those. And I was like, and I knew shoes from back in the cross country days, in the way that like you would go into the store and like the whole thing was that it was like you didn't pick the shoes that looked cool, you needed to pick the shoes that were appropriate for your feet.
For your feet, because yeah, your stride,
yeah. Like, you know, and they're all built like a little bit differently with this in mind. And, you know, it's like when you're going to be putting hundreds of miles on this pair of shoes, it's like your legs need you to pick the ones that are right, not the ones that look cool.
Yeah, because every step you take is going to send like a little, you know, shockwave up your entire spine, you
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, but that being said, I was a lot older and it was kind of like, you know what, I'm not really competing like I was back then. I'm not going to put the same load on me that I did in high school or anything like that. So I was like, there are these, it's like the On Clouds.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that brand. And I was like, Alice, they're going to try to talk me into buying a different pair of shoes. I do not want a different pair of shoes. I want these shoes, and they have them there. And like, these are the ones I want, and just watch. They're going to try to talk me into a different one. And I know it. And that's going to happen. Do not let them. I want these. And I need you to be like my backbone in this situation. So we go in, he tries them on. He takes me outside. He's like, would you try on a different pair of shoes? And he was like, trust me, just trust me. Like, put them on, and like, all you have to do is go outside and run 20 yards in them. And if you still want the other ones, I will fully sell you the other ones. But put these on, take them outside. And it's like a brand of Saucony, I think is the brand.
Yeah.
And it has this like nylon plate. So I think Nike sells some of these with like a carbon plate that goes like all the way through the bottom of the shoe.
Yeah.
And so I go outside and I'm wearing them, and I go to like spring off my first step. And from the moment my foot left the ground, I was like, these are better.
Yeah.
I was like, this is insane.
This is better.
I mean, they were like, it was like having like springs attached to the bottom of my feet. I was like, and so, I mean, it was hilarious because Alice is like, she doesn't know that I'm not just people pleasing, because she witnesses me do that all the time. So I'm like, okay, I want these. And Allie's like, no, he wants the other ones. And I was she's like trying to step in on my behalf, and I'm like, Allie, wink wink, we're all good,
we're all
these
good.
Are better,
these are better.
She's like, I heard you 100%, the other ones please.
I hear you, I got your back, husband.
Yeah. So she was being amazing, but finally it, we got through, and I ended up wearing them, and I ran my first marathon them, and they were incredible. I was nice. Like, this is, I couldn't believe how much of a difference it made,
man.
And I think even the carbon fiber Nike ones were like outlawed in the Olympics for a while, because they were making too much of a difference.
Right. They're like accelerating people's speed.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, in like a non-human way.
Right. Yeah. It's like this isn't like steroids, but somehow it does feel like cheating.
I mean, adding springs to your feet does seem like that, yes.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the type of thing in a completely like non-Olympic context. Like if I was just like a, you know, like the Secret Service or like a special agent, you know, or something like that, I'd be like, heck yeah, I want those.
Oh yeah, that's it. The Secret Service, that is such a great example. It was just like, who cares? Of course I want every advantage.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. I'm blood doping. Yeah. I'm using steroids. No, I'm just, I mean,
I always remember that.
Not in, advocating for this, but.
I think it was maybe not the Da Vinci Code, but like Inferno, maybe. I don't know. There's one of those Dan Brown books.
Okay, yeah.
Where
yeah.
like you've got your villain character and he is just described constantly over and over as like a monster, like this giant, huge person. And it's like, you know, it, like you're thinking like, okay, sure. Like he's just like a big muscular guy. And it's like, the book is just sort of gets into it. And it's like, no, he's definitely just like pumping crazy steroids. And he's doing all these things to make himself like extremely huge.
Yeah.
In like a way that like the book is just sort of like, of course he can lift more than like Olympic people because he's cheating basically. And it's like, right. The goal isn't to compete. The goal is to be as strong as possible.
Not
legally as strong as possible, just as strong as possible.
Right.
And such is the villain of this book.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because it's like, it's only illegal. Well, I actually don't know if this is true or not, to be completely honest with you. But as far as I know, it's only illegal for competition.
Right.
You know, it's like, if you just want to be absurdly strong, it's like, I mean,
there you go.
I'm not here to recommend it.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Don't do it. But like, I think for the purposes of the example you're giving or mine, it's like, well, you know, I guess that's a different application for super springy shoes.
Right. Yeah.
That's the one I'm mostly talking about.
Yeah.
The springy shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Olympics. Exciting.
Olympics. I know. I'm excited. Just going to be a good 3 weeks here.
It will be. Transition.
Mm-hmm. Transition. Bing, bing.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Boy, howdy, where to begin? I remember graduating college and having aspirations of becoming an entrepreneur. I was brimming with ideas. A kitchen tool that made spiral cut hot dogs, or a phone case that uses a special retractable cables to wrap around any surface for selfies. I had no idea how to make these ideas a reality, and spoilers, I still don't. However, what I have learned through my various other endeavors is how to take products and make them available for purchases online, thanks to Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that makes designing your webpage, setting up your store, and making your first sales a breeze. But the best part is that after that first sale, Shopify scales with your growth, meaning it's perfect whether you're selling tens, hundreds, or even thousands of products monthly. And I am a data person, and boy does Shopify have data. Want to know how many hot dog spiralizers you sold between May 29th and July 5th? That's peak hot dog season. Boom, data in no time. Also, the answer is zero. I still don't know how to make a hot dog spiralizer, but if I did, I would know exactly how to sell them. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about y'all, but no matter how hard I work, I sometimes still feel like I'm just not doing enough. And life is hectic. There's just simply no doubt about it. Whether you're in school, the early stages of your career, taking a big step romantically, becoming a parent, the list goes on. Each of us has daily stressors that can add up, making it hard to feel like you've ever got time for yourself. And this is when establishing some non-negotiable self-care tactics is more vital than ever. So take the bubble bath, go for a jog, or better yet, pretend to go for a jog and just sit quietly on a park bench for a while. But I gotta tell you, for me, my self-care is therapy. In fact, here at Super Carlin Brothers, we have a no questions asked approval process for time off to take therapy appointments. It's something that we value highly, and we know it makes a difference in the lives of ourselves and our team. For me, therapy has been so vital to juggling my own busy life. While it can sometimes seem frivolous to make time for a hobby when there is so much going on, I've discovered that taking the time actually lifts my mood and makes me more effective everywhere else. And that is something I've learned in therapy. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop. Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the mourning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Jay, this is something I struggle with all the time.
Okay.
I have no idea why. I mean, I think fundamentally I understand what's happening, but it doesn't prevent me from still frequently being confused. And that is
okay.
That is calendar math.
Oh, dude, I'm so bad at calendars.
Calendars are really weird.
If I was at a job interview and they're like, "What are your weaknesses?" I'd be like calendars.
Calendars,
man.
Yeah.
Like I don't not know the days of the week or anything, but if you're like, "Hey, can I take off Labor Day?" I'm going to be like, "I don't know when that is."
Well, is that the one in May or September?
Like, is that a Monday? Is it a Friday? Ooh. If someone's like, sometimes I will talk to people like right now we're coming up on the end of July or whatever. And if someone was like, "Hey, are you guys free on like November 22nd? Like, you know, I know there are people who would be like, that's the Saturday we're going to the football game. So no, you know, right, and I'd be like, "What? How? Huh?"
Yeah. There is no way. I mean, not even my birthday in October, I couldn't tell you what day of the week it's
absolutely
going to be on.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, I don't know what day my birthday is on.
Ever.
Yeah. I'm not like, "Oh yeah." Like some people, they're just so clued into the calendar and the years. And like, it'll be like, "Well, my birthday is on a Thursday this year, but that just means it'll be on a Friday next year. So I'm pretty much looking forward to that." Yeah. And then it'll be leap year. So it's actually gonna be Friday again, that's awesome.
Or will it be Sunday?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure when there's a leap year, it repeats.
It repeats.
I think.
It doesn't, it adds a day.
And I don't know each year whether or not you're going forward a day or back a day, but I know it is a 1 day difference year to year.
I think it's the next day. So if it was Tuesday this year and no leap year, I think it would be Wednesday. But I thought if it was a leap year, it would go from Tuesday to Thursday.
I thought it repeated.
Yeah,
I could be wrong as well.
Yeah,
because who's to say?
I think that at one point in time, I was like, "Oh man, like I think my birthday's on like a Friday, but then it's a leap year, which means the next time it's gonna be like a Sunday, so I'm gonna miss my Saturday birthday
entirely."
Oh, that's
the worst one.
I know. Yeah. Ugh, can you imagine?
Jeez.
I know. But it's actually not that big of a deal. Because Addison's birthday is the day after mine now, so I pretty much am just like, "Haha, this week is yours."
Right?
Yes.
So until you get that 1 year where yours is Tuesday, hers is Wednesday, and it's like, gosh, come on.
I know. Yeah. What even is this? Where's leap year when you need it? Maybe. But like the thing is, and literally as I was even trying, like I was writing this in the show notes and I went to go pull an example to give you. And I immediately was like, "Well, now I'm screwed. I don't know what I did wrong." And so, because I'm like, I know this is a problem. I know this has come up before. But so I'm like, okay. So I pull it up, and the month of July that we're in right now worked out extremely well because July 1st was a Monday, which means that Friday.
Oh, that's the best.
Friday would be July
5th.
Yeah, look at you go. Yeah. Look at you go.
It feels like a trick question based on how we're doing this.
I know. But then for some reason, like when you go like a couple weeks later, July 15th, what would that make? Monday, July 15th, what does that make Friday?
The 20th.
Well, you would think, wouldn't you? It's the 19th.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, you're right. Like why was it? Yeah. But at the same rate, it's like 1 plus 5 would have landed us at the 6th.
1 plus 5 would have landed us at the 6th. Yeah, you're right. So 15 is more like a 0 representative than it is a 1 representative, whereas a 1 is a 1 representative.
Right.
So 1 through 5 makes sense. 15 through 19 does make sense, but at the same rate, like,
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Like, because if you were to say, what is 20 minus 15, what is the answer?
5.
And how many days are there
in a week? 10. Yeah. I was not listening to your math question.
Okay, hold on. If I were to ask you the question, yeah, what is 20 minus 15?
Five.
Right. How many days of the week are there?
Seven.
A weekday. Well, sorry.
Oh, yeah. 5 weekdays. Yes.
Yeah. 5 weekdays. Yeah. It's like 15 through the 19th. What is 19 minus 15?
Right. Four.
Right. It's like what is going on?
Doesn't make sense. I know. It's like if you were like, yeah, I'm going to be out from the 1st to the 5th, you'd be like, great, you'll be out for 5 days.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're like, I'm going to be out from the 15th to the 19th, you'd be like, great, 4 days.
Yeah. It's like, why are you coming back on Friday day early?
Yeah.
It's
sort of weird.
I mean, no big deal, but right, like, you know.
it's like both those things. It's like, this is why I'm bad at calendar math. Even just like, if I was like, all right, today's Monday. And I'm like, so 3 days from now, do you want to go to the movies? It's like, what day do I mean? Right. Like
Thursday,
probably Thursday.
Yes.
But maybe Wednesday.
I know. Right? Well, the other one that happened this morning was Ethan, the editor, was talking about his like K cups that he had left.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I bought this huge box of like 144 of them at like, you know, the wholesale house or whatever, BJ's or what's the other one. It doesn't matter. One of those places. And he's like, I've only got two left. And I was like, oh, so we got to watch out for you on
Thursday.
It's like you have two left. Today's Monday, which means the next day you'll come in without coffee will be Thursday.
Right.
You've already had today's coffee, which means Tuesday, Wednesday. We're there to Thursday, but two cups in 4 days. It's like, I don't know. It's the other one too is that keeps getting me is we booked our Disney trip recently and we can fly out of Roanoke. There's like a discount air service flight, what airport airplane?
Allegiant.
No, I know that. What is the name of a company that owns an airline? An airline.
Yeah.
Wow. Woo. Man, guys,
we are remembering things today.
It is getting dark up inside of the brain.
Man.
Like I think like the cobwebs are starting to form, and it's like some of the details are just like they're just like, hey, we're not here anymore.
We're not here anymore.
Yeah, it's not the best, but we can always fly cheap on Friday to Friday or Friday to Monday. So we normally go from a Friday to a Friday because it works out well. But then when you're booking, you always book by room nights.
So like Friday to Friday is confusing to me too, because it'd be like, that's 1 week, that's 7 days.
Right.
But it's like, that's actually 8 days worth of time.
Yes.
Because you'd have to be Friday to Thursday would account for all 7 days. And then you'd be back to Friday, which would be the eighth day. Yeah.
But then like, even like on all the reservations, it's like, yes, we got your booking from Friday to Thursday. And I'm like, wait, no. My flight doesn't leave until the next day. I'm not going to have accommodations. And it's like Thursday night. And
right,
then the person who books the hotel after you will have a booking for Friday night.
Right.
You know, but you can't both be booked on Friday because that wouldn't make sense. You know, so it's like I understand how it works, but like my brain will not learn the lessons.
Yeah. It is, calendar math. It just doesn't make super sense to me. It's just like, if it's Monday, I was like, 7 days from now, it will be Monday again.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Yes.
Right. So that's 1 week later, but like the same rate, but then like Friday to Friday, that will still cover 8 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it's calendar math's so annoying. Or then people are like, what would you consider the first day of the week, Ben?
I would say Monday.
Right. I would say Monday as well. But there's some crazy people out there who would say Sunday is the first day of the week. And you'd be like, no, Monday is the first day of the week. Sunday is the last day of the week. And they'd be like, yeah, but then why on the calendars does it start with Sunday? And you're like, that's a good point. It's stupid. Calendars are dumb.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's they got it wrong.
I think that they like the symmetry of like the S on both ends.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
like,
you come back and you'd be like, what about Wednesday? That's the hump day. That's the middle of the week because it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Day.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're only talking about weekdays. And I'm like, I'm talking about the whole week. Monday's the start of the week. Okay.
Yeah,
Sunday's the last day.
Right.
God, Sunday is, you know, so that God rested on the last day. That's Sunday. That's when you go to church, right? That's the last day.
The last day. But so then it's like, it's also like, if you're like, Sunday is the second day of the week end. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, what are you doing this weekend? And then the beginning of next week. You know?
Right.
Like, that's the question you'd have to ask everybody.
Sunday people would be like, no, it's like bookends. It's like bookends. You have one on either side.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where they're coming from, but at the same rate, I don't at all.
But at the same rate, they're totally wrong. It's stupid.
Yeah. Pure silliness.
Pure silliness. Monday is the start of the week. End of story.
No, so the other thing that's happening to me in my life right now, this is a small diversion from the conversation, but it's also equally confusing to me, is that the boat that I got is a jet-powered boat. So it's made by the company Sea-Doo that also makes like jet skis,
right?
You know, most famously. And jet skis are rather interesting when it comes to their turning mechanics, because they, like, I guess the way that the jet power works, like the nozzle is always like facing the same direction, and therefore it's like it behaves the same whether you're going forward or backwards, because I can reverse in my boat, which I don't know if that's always common for like jet skis and stuff. Mine does have it. You can reverse. And, but what that means though is like, if you turn the steering handlebars, which it doesn't have a steering wheel, it has handlebars like a jet ski would. If you turn them to the right and press the accelerator, you turn right. If you then decide, okay, I've turned right enough, I'm now going to reverse. If you press the reverse and you're still facing right, the boat will also turn right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, regardless of which direction, regardless of which throttle you're using, reverse or forward, like you point it the direction you want the nose of the boat to go. Which is
like different from like a car.
Which is different from like a car.
Right.
And then doubly different from like backing up a trailer, which if you've never done is its own bizarre kind of like reconstruct your brain mechanics. Oh,
it's impossible.
I mean,
it's not impossible, but it's like you do. It's not like you're just going to go out there and like have a knack for it.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's like it will take just about anybody at least a few tries to like get the hang of it. And then,
it's going to be made worse because no matter what, whenever you're backing up a trailer for the first time, there'll be like out of nowhere, like 6 40-year-old dudes that are just like, oh, hold on. Yeah. Just go ahead and get back over here. You got to go this way to go that way. And
they all happen to be auctioneers.
They're all auctioneers. They're all telling you the same, but different information.
Yes.
And you're like, why don't you do it?
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's like, also, were you guys just in those bushes?
Where'd you come from?
Where did you come from?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. No, it's this is like one of those though, like where when we were growing up, our grandpa Jack, who gifted me my first boat, there was like a day where like I needed to trailer the boat, which is the process of taking the boat and driving it from water onto the trailer while it's in the water. And it's like, this is not like a highly difficult task, but ideal scenario is that you're at like a publicly maintained marina that has like a big concrete ramp that you've slid up to, and it's designed at like a specific grade so that like the trailer, as you back it into the waters, the approximate depth and everything to do it as neatly and evenly as possible. Like all things that these people are keeping in mind as they're designing their boat ramps. Meanwhile, we're on the beach of our camp in Vermont, which is, I say beach, but it's actually just like tons of shale,
right?
Like little small, make excellent skipping stones, actually.
Sure do.
Yeah. But, you know, we're backed in. We have a north wind, as Grandpa informs me, which means that the wind is at your back, which means
I'm talking about wind directions, but it's as bad as weekdays.
I know.
Yeah. It's a north wind means coming out of the south, right?
Yeah.
North wind comes out of the south because it's going north.
Okay. Well, hard to say.
Yeah.
But
does that make it a south wind or a north wind?
Well, yeah,
it's coming from the south. You think it'll be a south wind?
Experts remain divided. It's like, we should probably decide. But anyway, so it's like, you know, Grandpa has me taking these like stabs at it. And when you're going to pull your boat into the trailer, there's a big hook on the front of your boat. And then on the trailer, there's a big crank that you can attach a rope to that you can then turn over a whole bunch of times. And it will like, basically it's like a fishing line, you know, it'll shoot you right up to the center. Nice and even.
Yeah.
But you know, Grandpa wants to be sure that I know how to do it and what's what. So I'm doing, you know, the wind is whipping. I mean, it's just like absolutely ferocious out there. You're trying to queue up. Not to mention, boats do not turn well when going slow.
Yeah,
They use the propulsion to direct the turn.
Yeah.
So you're coming up, the waves are crashing underneath you. You got Grandpa's boat that he successfully maintained for like 47 years, you know, and you're pulling onto the trailer, which is at a strange angle because we had to back it in past the canoe that nobody could move for some reason.
Yeah, of course.
It's like,
you got Grandpa yelling at you 100 directions.
Right. So you come ramping in there and it's like, nope, back it up, do it again. And it's like, okay, here we go. Back it back off.
Dude.
Spin it around the cove. Come back in. You missed again. It took me like 30 tries.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there was a time period, and correct me if I'm wrong, where like at camp, there was like the this exact practice was being taken, and it was almost like comical. It'd be like, oh, grandpa went up to the store, quick, launch the boat, or like, quick, like, quick, dock, get the boat out of the water. Because, like, I love our grandpa, but he is definitely someone who likes to do things the hardest way possible.
No, you know, at least as efficiently. Well, yeah, like I will say that every single time I trailer my boat now, I use the crank every single time, because I'm like, it pulls it right neat and even right up to the middle. Like,
right, like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know, but I wasn't allowed. But
you weren't allowed to.
I wasn't allowed to. You had to do it the old fashioned way.
I mean, honestly, you guys, every time we go to like, you like, we've been on the boat like a bunch with you this summer, and every time we get there, like, you'll pull up in the boat, and like, part of me, like, to this day, as a like someone in my mid-30s, there's like this knot in my stomach of like, okay, well, Ben's gonna go launch the boat, that's gonna take forever, like, how long am I, I'm like doing this math in my head, like, I'm gonna have to entertain these kids in the parking lot, and they don't want to sit still, and there's rocks and moving cars and boats, and it's probably going to be like another 20 minutes before we can start getting on the boat. And oh my God, Ben's done. You know? And I'm like, I remember going up to camp and being like, you guys want to come launch the boat? And it's like, when you're a kid, like, that sounds really fun. Like, I'm going to go launch the boat. Yeah, I'm going to launch. Let's go launch a boat.
Like, launch it into space.
And I feel like I just remember Dad and Uncle Mike and Grandpa, and they'd be out there, and they'd be backing that boat into the water for like half an hour, and yeah, there'd be a bunch of like, give it some juice and just get shimmy it, and like, it would just like part of me is like, this is part of why I don't even want a boat, like, this is so hard to get it in the water. I know.
Yeah,
but it's not
it's not so bad when you have all the right equipment and the designated boat ramp that works, because yes. But yeah, while we're up in camp, like, whenever I've had to do it on my own, you're not wrong, like, it's not that I'm like especially good at this activity, but like, the number of times, because, you know, obviously our beach is not designed for launching boats or anything, maybe you're supposed to do it, who knows, but the number of times that I have had to have somebody else hook up a rope that we found in the old shed to my truck, to like, you know, their hitch on their car, so they could pull me pulling the boat trailer out of where it got stuck on the beach, was like at least six times.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's such an endeavor. But the big grand redeeming factor, and this is something that I think actually is like an underrated aspect of the way in which we interact with the world, is that there are special places on the planet that are special. Like, if you go to the Grand Canyon, I'm assuming this because I haven't actually attended, but I think it's a good example. If you go to the Grand Canyon, it's spectacular every time you go to the Grand Canyon.
Right.
You know, but that's the thing, you know, so it's like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But then when you're up in our camp in Vermont, there is like this really unusual challenge that you're up against, because it's like, most of the time when you get up there, it's a lake that is very sizable. It's not like Great Lake size, but it's big enough to have its own weather. And
it's like the sixth biggest lake.
Yeah. So it's like, being where it is, it's like, it's subject to unknown conditions. And so that means that, like, when you go up for a week, you might get like 2 to 3 days of sunshine and clear, flat water to use. Those days in that environment, those are 12 out of 10s.
Right.
Like, it's like, there is nothing or anywhere in the world I would rather be on, like where on like one of those than one of those perfect days.
Right.
Like, that is like existence perfection. But it's like, you have to drive the 12 hours to get there. You have to hope that you get some of those days while you're there. And then you need to be like in the position to experience it to its fullest.
Right.
And so it's just like, it's so interesting though, because it's like, you would never say like, ah, yes, the point in on Lake Champlain compares to the Grand Canyon, but it's like, on those perfect days, it beats it.
It beats it, man. It is. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, it is. It's awesome. I had like so much fun. I remember just being up there for those sacred days in the summer where you're there. Cause it just feels like, especially as a kid, when you have no responsibility, just like there's never not something to do.
Yeah.
And everything, even the most boring thing, which might just be like casting your line off the point, is still super fun.
Yes.
It's just like, maybe I am going to catch a fish right now. And sometimes you do.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's great.
I know.
Good for you.
I don't know what it is. Even that, it's like fishing while I'm in Vermont takes on a completely different like vibe than it does like here back home at the lake we go to every weekend.
You're right.
Because I'm like, the fish up there, it's almost like these fish are like, this is like nature's fish. You know, it's like, right. It's like nature brought them here. They are just here, you know, whereas like we have like a man-made lake to where I'm like, someone put these fish here. They have survived.
They've survived. They're still here.
It's not fun to catch them.
Yeah.
However, it's like there's something like really neat about being like in the proper wilderness.
The proper wilderness.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like the lake is properly wild.
It is. But I mean, you also, I can't like, it's just in the back of my mind. It just is. I don't know why.
I know exactly what you mean. It's like, part of me, it's like, when we're in Vermont, there's like, it is not hard at all for me to wake up at 6 and be on the boat at 6:02 in the rain, ready to fish.
Right. Yes. With the rain just falling in your coffee mug that's rapidly getting cold. Like,
am I going to be able to sit down for the next 3 hours? No.
No way. Jose.
No chance.
Yeah.
But am I going to catch anything? Maybe not. But I'm here.
I'm not bored.
Yeah. And then it's like, if you were to like, you want to meet at the lake at 6, I'd be like, oh my gosh.
That's
going to be hard.
Yeah.
But like also, that's still probably when you need to wake up to go do it.
Probably.
I reckon.
So.
I don't know. And I feel like I know the places to go up on that lake. And I'm like, where do fish even belong in this lake? They're probably all in like one corner in, you know, some part of this lake, and I don't know where that corner is. It's a big lake, where do I go?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not just everywhere in the water, which of course they are, but
right. But it's like, I know where the sunken concrete dock in Vermont
is, right?
So yeah. I go there and you throw the line next to it, you catch a big fish and you're happy.
Yes, exactly.
Or you
exactly.
don't catch a big fish and you're happy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm not really even sure what we're trying to say here.
I don't know either. I don't know. A rant to nothingness and no one.
Just talking about launching the boat.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I just remember it as a kid. I feel like it took forever. There was one time our parents brought their friend Carthen up there.
Yeah.
And just in the act of launching the boat, he just slashed his leg wide open, had like 20 stitches in his leg.
Good times.
That also is wrapped up in my what's part of launching a boat. Like, it's pretty dangerous activity.
Dude,
for one thing.
It sticks with me way more than it should for a memory I don't even actively remember. I've only ever been shown after the fact
photos.
And this is something where my trailer has a license plate that dangles off the back of it. And it's like, I will give that license plate the most comically wide berth every single time I walk around it. I'm like, I'm not going near you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you are effectively a razor blade mounted to the back of a moving vehicle.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Not about to go stitches on Lake Day.
No, not even one bit. Mm-mm. Not even one bit. All right.
No way.
Transition.
Dude, it has been a week for the MCU.
It is, and honestly, it's like, for a while, it felt like this was like almost like a cliche statement. Like, it's like every week was a week for the MCU.
Every week was a week.
And now it's been like 4 years since it's been a week for the MCU.
Dude, it has been a while. And it was like, so this past week, in case you missed it, Deadpool and Wolverine came out,
yes.
Which you and I saw.
We did.
Which I, like, what I was, could not believe was your level of enjoyment, not just of the movie, but just, like, leading up to it. You were having this, like, crazy, like, Deadpool renaissance leading up to it, and it was like so fun to watch. We're just like, guys, Deadpool, right? Like, it's fun.
I know. It was really, really cool for me as well, because like the like movie going experience, and I think I've expressed this before, like, I know that it is something that you love more than I love,
like going to the movies.
Yeah. Like, I think that somewhere along the way, like, maybe some of the magic got like I don't even know, like, taken from what it used to be. And it's not that I haven't still had these extraordinary experiences. I've always talked about like my Force Awakens experience. Like even Avatar Way of Water, I thought was just truly amazing. Great. Just to see in theaters, because you feel like you're watching something, you know, and it's like the full immersion is part of like what you want out of it. But yeah, this like the week leading up to it, the fun of like the characters, the self-effacing humor, like, you know, it's all... It was just all like clicking for me. And I was like, yeah. I can't wait to just go sit in the chair and eat popcorn and drink an oversized drink. And
oh, man. Yeah. Like you came in because we made a Deadpool like Google autofill video last week, which like the whole team was like in on and like a part of making. And then like in doing that, we had to look for like a bunch of Deadpool clips to put in the video.
Yes.
Some of which were from like the new trailers and stuff like that. So, you know, you're hunting down and looking through all the trailers. And we saw the movie on Thursday and you came in on Thursday morning and we're like, dude, I watched that trailer at home like 60 more times.
I did. Yeah. Dude, I think the official trailer for Deadpool versus Wolverine was maybe one of the best trailers. Like, I go back to Frozen 2 also had an amazing one.
Amazing trailer.
Where Elsa is like facing
standing
down.
Standing on that black beach.
Yes. And yes. She's like kind of like digging like her feet in and everything. And it's just like, whoa, this is like, I can't believe this is like a Disney princess movie, but it looks like so freaking cool.
I don't know.
And I remember having that experience with that one where I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm lost in this. This is great.
Yeah.
But I felt like the goofiness of what this movie ends up being when you go and see it in theaters, like translated so well to the trailer and like the music. They always like, I think this is like a Deadpool thing. They always sort of like juxtapose music that doesn't feel like it would go.
Like it's gonna fit. Yeah. Yeah.
But then somehow it ends up like it's almost like. Like nobody ever even tried putting anybody in like this outfit. So it's like, we never knew how good it could look because it seemed like, why would anybody consider it? And then like, it ends up working so well.
So well.
So anyway, yeah, I just like, I'm sitting there on the couch at night and like, we're like watching like a TV show, Alice and I, and I'm just like, here, watch it again. And she, I mean, she was watching me just like grinning and I'm like, what? And she's like, you were having a lot of fun. it was so exciting. And,
that's awesome.
And then I saw the movie and like there's a huge question that's like lived in the back of my mind, like coming out of Spider-Man Far From Home, which was like, it was so awesome to see what they did. But then the whole time I couldn't help but wonder, like, did I only enjoy it because I knew all of the moments were, you know, right. So it's like, I know who that is and why it's important. I know who that is and why it's important. I have recognized out of universe how all of these pieces have now come together in this new age film. And therefore I love it. It's like, is that the case? Or did I just like love watching it unfold? But like, I haven't been asking myself that same question with Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right.
Like, I'm not like, was it just fun because like this happened? That person happened to be there.
This
character,
yeah.
You know, I'm trying not to give any spoilers or any like, you know, whatever.
Although but if you want to see our spoiler review, it's up.
It is up on Supercar Brothers.
Beth said one of her friends texted her over the week and she's like, my husband just watched your husband's review and now he's going to go see Deadpool. And I was like, what?
That is amazing.
No!
Yes, I'll take it. Yeah. So, but the really cool thing about it and like, I don't even think this is terribly over the line in terms of spoilers because it's not really getting to the nitty gritty. It's just sort of what Deadpool does. But it's very like making fun of the current stagnant nature of the MCU.
Yeah.
And they don't shy away from it. And there's this like, it's kind of funny too, because like I think everybody thinks of Disney and they think like that's not where rated R films come from. Like there's maybe even like a perceived like stuffiness that they like can't make fun of themselves as well,
right?
Or something in a way that would like meet the Deadpool like expectations,
right?
And I almost feel like even like Disney a little bit was like rolling up their sleeves being like, yo, we got this,
we can do it, okay?
And because it's so self-aware, it almost feels like it draws like a little like imaginary line in the sand that was sort of like, okay, we understand we haven't necessarily caught your fancy for a hot minute here. However, what if we tell you in universe that we know we didn't catch your fancy and then all of a sudden do a whole bunch of cool things? And so it's like, it's this huge question as to whether or not this is going to be like, did it only work because of the characters, because of, you know, you're dealing with a much beloved Wolverine, a much beloved Ryan Reynolds, like, you know, that type of thing. Would it translate as well to other characters? Does it breathe? Because Thor Ragnarok did something like this, where I feel like, you know, Taika Waititi at the helm of that movie brought a kind of humor to the character of Thor that I think expanded that character.
Oh, I mean, expanded, you know, like the way they did Marvel movies.
Yeah, exactly. In a way that I think made them that much more lovable. Like they stopped taking themselves seriously at that stage as well, and allowed themselves to like lean into some referential humor, some like whatever.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, well, that didn't work last time, you know, like whatever. And so then following Deadpool, we go into San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con, where like it just seemed like Marvel, I'm just impressed with like the planning of all of this, because you have Deadpool and Wolverine come out first. And yeah, they make fun of themselves so much. Like, we know we've been messing up. We got it. We hear you. And it's like, which is also just validating to the audience, because sometimes it feels like we keep saying stuff and no one's listening. And it's just like, no, we got it. We heard you.
Yeah.
And he's like, Deadpool's telling Wolverine, it's like, you're entering a kind of a low point. And it's just like, it's like so funny to hear them say that.
I know.
It's like Deadpool speaks for you, the audience. And it's like, he's just saying all the things you feel like, which is like very, it's like, it's such a release valve is what it is. The movie is such a release valve.
It is. I mean, it's me and Alice have talked about this before. Like when we like talk to each other about like a hard day or whatever, like sometimes I think because we're both big problem solvers, we fail to validate and instead try to problem solve for the other person.
Yeah.
And I think what both of us have learned is that some version of getting to the end of that conversation and just saying the phrase, that sucks. You know, it's like, yes, thank you. It did suck. That's all I really needed.
That's what I needed.
I experienced the deep negative feelies, and I just needed somebody to be like, wow, you experienced deep negative feelies. And it's like, I did experience them. And it's like, yeah, you did. It's like, all right, I feel better. It's like nothing got changed. Nothing changed. Just someone whose opinion you cared about weighed in.
Right. Exactly.
And this was them being the MCU.
And it's because I think people want to be excited about Marvel, and they keep hyping themselves up, and they keep just getting their expectations not met.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, so you watch this movie and you come out and you feel like, okay, we feel heard. Like there's hope for the future. They successfully brought Hugh Jackman back to Wolverine, and they didn't do it in a way that made sense, that was emotional, that like followed some story beats, that was like cool.
Yeah.
And it was like there is hope for the future, and you're just sort of like, you don't know when that future is, but it turns out it's tomorrow because it's San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, and I don't think it's any surprise that they picked this date to do Deadpool and Wolverine 3 days before this announcement.
Yes,
you know,
100%.
And they come out and they're like, guess what? You know how you haven't really liked Kang the Conqueror and how Jonathan Majors has had all these weird legal troubles? Well, guess what? He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. That character is gone. That's gone. You know who beat him? Loki, back in season 2 of Loki. You know your favorite character, Loki? He won. He did it. He beat him. Congratulations. Fantastic. Kang Dynasty, that's no longer the next Avengers movie. You know what it's going to be called? Doomsday. And you're like, oh my gosh, no way. Doctor Doom? That's so cool.
Right. Like that could have just been enough right there.
That couldn't have been enough right there. And they're like, guess who's going to direct it? You know those guys who did Infinity War and Endgame? They're back. Not just for this one, but the next Avengers movie. And you're like, yeah, yeah, cool. That's awesome. Very good.
Yeah.
Let's go. And then they're like, oh, also, we're going to go ahead and tell you who's going to be playing Doctor Doom. We know this has been like one of those fan cast things that people have been like, yeah, who's it going to be? Who could it be? Who could possibly be Doctor Doom? What's it going to be? It's Robert Downey Jr. And you're like, no, it's not. You didn't get Iron Man to play Doctor Doom. What? I mean, just collective mind lost across the internet. It's the only story I saw.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's, I mean, it's just it. It's just it. Yeah. It's like, what? I woke up to text messages from like lots of people being like, did you see it?
Did you see it?
I was just like, open Google, I saw it!
Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. It's like you can't believe they're doing it. And at the same rate, you're like, but it's perfect. It's the perfect. It's the great choice.
Yeah. I know. Now the only thing I'm really curious about is just like whether or not we're just going to see like a, in the same way that there's like multiversal versions of whoever. It's like, is it just going to be like this is like if Tony Stark went bad and it's like, oh crap, we know how good he was when he was good.
I know.
Like is it just going to be like the equal and opposite?
Oh, I know. I'm like, is it so? Because you know, it'll be from a multiverse, like a not our verse, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Otherwise it'd just be like, that's just Tony Stark. But like they introduced him as Victor Von Doom, like, okay, on stage, which makes you think like it's Victor Von Doom in whatever universe he's coming from just looks like how Tony Stark looked like in our universe.
That'll be the question. Yeah. And so then it'll just be funny to see like whether or not, like, you know, if Thor runs into him, he's like, Tony.
Right, yeah.
My boy!
Exactly. Like, will he have some way to, like, access Stark Tower or something? Because he's the same person and,
things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, that's like a whole different video almost entirely. It's like, yeah. what does this mean?
That doesn't matter. The point is, it's just like, it feels like for a while, they got to the end of Phase 2 and they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start trying, like, a lot of different creative, different off the wall things with our Marvel movies, because now that it's so popular, we can almost do anything and it won't matter.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like they're like, you know what? It's not working. You know what? We're going to give the people what they want.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to bring back the things that worked. We're going to make it exciting. We're getting Wolverine back. We're getting Iron Man back. You know, it's just like, yeah, you're doing it and you're doing it well.
I know. Yeah. So. No, it's very exciting, you know, like it's because it's definitely, you know, from like what we do and everything, you know, it's like it's you reach a point where it's kind of like, I don't know, like, I don't know, like maybe when it comes down to it, I don't even know if I loved the MCU or like Marvel or any like one superhero more than what I actually loved was that everyone cared.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that was what I really enjoyed about it, was that it was just sort of like you could talk to anyone and it wasn't like, well, it's kind of like a deep cut reference. It's like everyone was tuned in, everybody understood, everybody wanted to know what was going to happen next. And you know, then you had these like incredible, you know, going back to the movie theater experience where you're like, you're in a crowd of people, all of whom are gasping at the same time together because they just can't believe it, you know. And it's like,
right, it's like, imagine that. Just like think about that, like in Endgame, Cap pulls the hammer, massive cheers from everyone. But what that requires from the audience is that they know the story of the hammer, that Cap almost picked it up, that other people haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
It is like you need everyone in the audience to have seen like roughly 20 movies.
Yeah.
And like, but they had, you know, maybe they missed one or two here or there, but for that moment to pay off, like that is the climax of 20 movies,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, there it is.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. Or like, you know, even Tony's final words, he says, I am Iron Man. It's like, those were his first words.
Right.
And it's like, that movie came out how many years ago?
Yes.
Like, if you didn't see that, or like, you have to remember that that's what that's from. You
yes.
know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do.
He's and like, no, it was not lost on anyone. And you were like, but you also, you did forget until he said it and you were like, oh, you know,
he said the thing.
The truth that's is, what he said then.
I am Iron Man.
No way.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, of course.
And always will be until you're Victor Don Doom.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's just been a fun weekend of being excited about Marvel, which I just haven't been for a while.
I know. And, yeah. I've been going through like a great wave of this lately. I feel like I'm very into the things that I'm into and they're all going well. And I'm like, right, knocking on wood and all right, this stuff. Yeah, and I'm just, like, just keep working. This is good.
Right.
Stay the course. Right. Anyway, guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. We super appreciate it. We want all of your feedback. You can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you want to check out the show after the show. No, that's not the right thing for this show. After the final pop. Wow, look at me go. You'd think I'd done this before.
You'd think. What are you, the one true host or something?
The one true host, yeah. So after the final pop, Jay ends every episode with pop, pop. But then after that final pop, we then fire back up the recorder and we continue to record like, I don't know, like another 15, 20 minutes of additional topics that we didn't additional get to stuff. In the main episode. And mm-hmm. And this week, I feel like we might talk about brother-in-law Mike slash GMA member Mike and his deep, deep, deep potential love for Adele.
Adele, the singer.
Yeah, he's all about it.
Yeah. You can't get three sentences into that guy, and he's like, that reminds me of an Adele song.
Hang on, I'll pull it up. We'll also get together. Yeah, so if you want to check that out, patreon.com/popcornculture. Also, Mike, if you're listening, I told you I was going to do this, and I did. Until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations. So if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you. And we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com.